The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. Our other hosts for this episode are Jeremy Schilling, coming to us from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Massachusetts, and Terrence Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach, by way of Windham, Maine. Jeremy, how are you doing, and where can the fans find you?
You can find me on Twitter at jshill20, and I am not great.
Yeah, I had a hunch you were going to say that. Terrence, or Terry, depending on your mood, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
I am good, and I can be found at CushmanMLB. Terry Talks Sox on TikTok. Terry Talks Sox on Facebook. Find us on Instagram and our in-print content on our Substack. Just search Bastards of Boston Substack, and you can find our in-print stuff there.
Perfect. Excellent. Let us get into some hot takes. Naturally, we like to do this once a week or once every other week, and this is the perfect day for it. I mean, after a wild series, Terry, why don't you take us away with your first take?
My first take is going to come from Mike Zappala. He says, Casas will be traded for a pitcher to make room for Pete Alonso at first base in 2025. Now, I disagree, obviously, as much as I appreciate the hot take, but you're going to trade Casas most likely for a bat, you know, to get more righty. And I know he does mention Alonso in here, but I can't imagine the Red Sox would ever throw the bag on a player like Alonso, whose numbers have slipped a little. You know, he has hit 27 bombs a season. He'll probably end up in the mid to upper 30s, but batting average down to 245. On base looks okay. I just don't. First base, I know it's been hard for us, but you can resolve that if you want to. Like, most teams can find someone serviceable to put in that position. You can take players from other positions and put them at first. So it's an easy thing to resolve. I can't see them ever spending, you know, a $200+ million deal. I'm assuming that's about what Alonso will get. Maybe it'll be 150 or so, but he's going to get one of the biggest contracts this winter. And I don't see the Red Sox giving it to him.
Jeremy.
Yeah, so Mike Zappala, hopefully you listened to this. Appreciate the input and the feedback and the tweet specifically, and I mean that. But respectfully, if you think this ownership is going to pay a name like Pete Alonso, you haven't been paying attention. I mean, it's that simple. I would move Casas. I can't stand the player. I think his personality sucks. I don't know how it's playing in the clubhouse. Obviously, during the season, you're not going to get Devers coming out saying he's just so bleeping annoying. Every time I see him, I roll my eyes. We're going to find that out in the years that follow, especially if he is moved. So I don't know how it's playing in the clubhouse. I assume that he is ruffling some feathers, but I find the player absolutely obnoxious. And he was productive in the Diamondbacks series. He was 4-for-12, double, home run, also struck out 6 times. So it was kind of boom or bust there. But I really don't – there's only a few players that I really haven't liked, and that's Kevin Youkilis, Pedroia at the end, and Cassis. I really can't stand the player. I don't think the shtick is cool and funny and all that when you're not on the field or you're not productive. And so I have no qualms with the first part of your take here. And especially if you can get a decent pitcher, a guy that you can get 180 innings out of, I mean, you're probably going to have to give up more, but I'm for it. And Terry and I specifically spoke on the trade deadline show that we were pro Cassis for Vlad, even if it was straight up or Cassis plus a prospect. And by the way, I'm still that way. But the problem is you have to pay Vlad out of his arbitration years. And here, same situation, you got to pay Alonso. It ain't going to happen. So I like the sentiment. However, I would pay Vlad and not Alonso.
Yeah, so to Mike Zappala, thank you so much for your hot take. I don't anticipate this being the direction they're going to go in. They're going to expect Pete Alonso to command anywhere between 25 and 30 million. He's, you know, not having numbers consistent for the last couple of years. The numbers have kind of trailed off as far as batting. Yeah, he had 46 home runs last year, but hit only 217. So it very much was a boom or bust candidate. 2019, he had 53 home runs, set the record for the most home runs by a rookie in the major leagues. That was also the juiced ball season. Balls were flying out of stadiums like crazy. The following year, his batting average comes down. He only plays 57 games during the COVID season, that COVID shortened year. 16 dingers, did not lead the league, still a quality year. The following year, almost the same number of games as his original year, but the numbers completely trailed off. The batting average did go up, but I just don't seeing him be a consistent contributor long-term when, as Jeremy mentioned, Vlad Guerrero is the guy that I want. That would be the prototypical first baseman that I would love. I mean, it would take – that is someone who's going to command the big money, and you would have to pay up the years in arbitration, as you mentioned. Casas would be the starter piece to that deal if you were going to go that direction, because – Vlad Guerrero is on a different planet right now. If you look at his numbers for the last 2 months, Vlad Guerrero has been absolutely on fire. I don't know what happened to start the year where things just kind of weren't clicking for him, but all of a sudden now you're seeing him light up the Christmas tree again. In the month of July, had a 358 batting average, 8 homers, 20 RBIs, and had an OPS of over 1,100. It was 1.113. So far in August, he's hitting 355 with 6 homers, 13 RBIs, and his OPS went up to 1.167. I really want Vlad. I really, really do. I do not want to see him wearing a Yankees uniform. I don't think that's going to end up being the case. I think somehow the Yankees are going to figure out a way to keep Soto and to keep him. Soto and Judge, for that matter. But between the two, that's just not the guy that I want. I think it's an interesting idea, but if you're going to make room for a guy at first base, there's only one name that I want it to be, and that's Vlad Guerrero Jr. So, yeah, it's going to take Casas, but it's going to take Casas and some other stuff too. They're going to need some, you know, major league ready talent. There's where Casas comes in, plus the expectation of some up and coming players. So one of your big three is also going to get moved in a trade like that. Anything else that we want to add on this one? Yeah, Terry, go ahead.
I was trying to get the numbers up. It wasn't quick enough, but Vladimir Jr.'s numbers at Fenway Park, off the charts. That's another reason. And watching the Toronto feed, you know, because again, I've been watching all of the away teams' feeds. So he had a big game earlier this season, and they interviewed him, and he just spoke nothing about great things about Fenway and how he loves hitting here. I do have him up right now. Let's see, where are we? Boston, where are we? Oh, man.
While you're looking that up, Jeremy, is there anything else you want to add to that take that you had? I'll give Terry a second.
No.
Cool.
I think we're all on the same page. I mean, I don't know how you would prefer Alonso over Vlad. I'd love to hear the argument. I like the sentiment of the tweet. If we could move Casas to improve, especially pitching, I'd do it. It's just, you're going to need to package more. We know they're not going to move the big four. So, you know, I think it would have to be, like Terry said, for to make us more balanced with a right-handed bat. And, you know, I don't want it to be Alonso.
Terry.
Vladimir's numbers at Fenway. This is 41 games played. He's hitting .348 with a .427 on base, .627 slugging, and a .1054 OPS. He's hit 10 home runs and driven in 41 in that time frame.
Decent.
It's just, he's made for Fenway. He would have a Manny Ramirez type impact from the right side of the plate at Fenway Park.
Also, I find him very likable.
He is.
100%.
He was on the cover of the show last year, I believe, or this year. Like, he's a marketable player, which ownership should want. Heck of a player. Obviously, the pedigree with his father. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer, but I'm sure Breslow didn't even pick up the phone and make the call to see.
I would love to have Vladdy here. I mean, he's such an exciting talent. I mean, my gosh, imagine him at Fenway. That's easily 35, .110. And he slots, you can have him bat second or third. It doesn't matter. And there's finally your right-handed power bat with easily 5, 6, 7 years of good baseball left in him. So why not make a move? You know, we paid to get Rafi. I think that if Devers had a choice of a player that he could get, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Guerrero. I mean, he's a likable guy, to Jeremy's point. The one caveat is, you know, if Devers were to potentially move away from third base, you're not going to put Guerrero back at third. That's where he originally started playing. One's going to be your first baseman. One's going to be your DH. And I think that's probably how the rest of those careers go. But I'm curious to see what it would look like, because Guerrero flipped to being a full-time first baseman, I think it was last year. He did play third base this year. I'm just not sure how many games. He has registered at least one game at third, though. So, you know, maybe something like that, getting like another set of eyes helping out somebody like Rafi Devers, maybe bringing in Vlad Guerrero, who can play first and third, offers something that Devers hasn't thought about and makes him a better player at third. You know, just something else to think about. Terry, I think you want to add one more thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Vladimir will be 27 if he makes it to free agency, which would be 2026. 25 at the moment. If anyone acquired him, there would probably be an extension agreed to before the trade commenced. You know, that would have to probably be in place for anyone gave up a major haul. So that would get him his extension at age 26. Pete Alonso is going to be 30 in December. And to add more complications to that, his agent is Scott Boras. So here's my Pete Alonso prediction. Boras is going to be asking for the moon, and Alonso probably won't sign before January 25th. He'll be on the market forever, and he'll eventually will get paid a decent deal, but it won't be what they both want, and that'll be that.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to add, Jeremy? All right, so we're going to do a little bit of a variation here. We're going to do some quick hits here. So I'm just going to go back in here for a second. We're going to take a look at a couple other hot takes. Actually, Jeremy, why don't you hit us with yours first? I'm going to get this one set up. Jeremy, what was your hot take? You're muted, brother.
That hasn't happened in a while. So this is from a friend of the program, Johnny Fontaine. Johnny, I know you're listening. Okay, you tweet me every Monday morning. change your avatar to a picture of yourself. Stop hiding behind Tony Soprano. And I want it done immediately. All right. The tweet, Trevor Story and Rich Hill will be the final nails in the coffin. So this is hot take segment, but it can also be an accurate take segment. And that's what this is. There is absolutely no basis to believe that Trevor Story or Rich Hill, who's 44 years old, will be able to help the big league club in time to make a difference. Now, we're going to go Rich Hill first. First, he's 44 years old, okay? His stuff is toasted. It's all, and Bailey must love this, it's all movement and changing the pace because the guy tops out at about 86 miles an hour, okay? He's also only built up to 2 innings. So where is the time frame for him to build up to be able to throw 75, even 100 pitches where we're still in this thing? This whole plan is utterly ridiculous, starting with the fact that Rich Hill wanted to wait for his son's baseball season to end because I believe he's coaching the team. So, and by the way, I don't blame Rich Hill. Like, go, if you can make some more money and play baseball, play baseball. I don't care if it's for, you know, whatever, Sandwich Braves or the Red Sox, go play baseball if that's what you want to do. But from a Red Sox perspective, this is pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. Now, he will pitch because, as we talked about in the preview show, we have games within 24 hours where we don't know who's going to be pitching. So if he can give you 2 innings, 3 innings, you probably take it. But what do you expect from a 44-year-old who's just basically a junk ball thrower? So he's not taking anybody's spot where you're like, well, that guy, you know, Criswell's been okay. He should be getting, no, Criswell's still going to pitch. Rich Hill's also going to pitch. And there's plenty of guys on this bullpen, especially, that we're not going to miss if they DFA. As for Trevor Story, and I think just generally speaking, he doesn't have a spot in this organization moving forward. Rafael has proven himself. He's being paid. Man, is it refreshing to watch him play defense. Center field's a bonus, but at shortstop, he makes plays that you just don't see. His arm strength from really any arm angle is incredible, and every time he makes a play, it seems to be different. What are you doing? Like, what's your plan? I assume it's Rafael at the center, Duran to left, and Story at short. Even if he's as good as we know he is defensively, you're not better offensively. He's had no run-up. He hasn't seen big league pitching. He's coming off a major injury and a surgery. If your expectation is to plug Trevor Story into this lineup, and if you do, it better be in the bottom third. I just don't see how he improves things really at all, other than providing righty-lefty balance. He's a strikeout machine. His numbers that got him the contract he's on in Boston are severely inflated because they're from Colorado. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And to the extent we have momentum moving forward coming out of the Blue Jays series, I really don't see how putting a leader back in the lineup like Trevor Story helps anything, because his voice means something in the clubhouse. So if he's not happy because he's not in the lineup, it's a problem. So hot take, but an accurate take. Johnny, change your avatar and stop hiding behind Tony Soprano.
That sounds like a Jeremy hot take in the hot take. Terry, go for it.
So Rich Hill has had one outing in AAA. He pitched 2 innings, struck out 2, walked 1. Didn't give up a run, but if that was this weekend against the Diamondbacks, how do you think he would have fared? It probably would have been the 4th of July in whatever inning it was that he pitched.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly.
It's so dumb to bring them back, because it's just going to be a reminder of the failure that we've had over the last couple of seasons. And with Trevor Story, he would have to go to Worcester, I'm assuming, or Portland, whatever's handy, and prove that he can play the field, prove that he can make a diving catch and then ship the ball to whichever base it needs to go to. it still seems like a long shot to me that A, he can be ready. B, he can be hitting at a good clip before he makes it to this roster. I mean, I want David Hamilton in that roster, in that lineup every day over Trevor Story. Hamilton can impact a game so much better than a guy like Story can. I just feel like you're going to end this season on a bad note by putting those two on the big league roster. And again, just a constant reminder of the failures of the last couple of years. That's what we're going to take with us into this postseason, into this winter free agency season.
So I'm going to preface it by reading off a couple stats. This is the good news / bad news part of the tweet here and comment. Trevor Story has already been paid $62.5 million for baseball in 2022 through 2024. Granted, the season hasn't ended, but that's how much money he's making. The good news is there's only 3 years left. Bad news is it's $72.5 million, not counting the buyout that he'll get the following year or the $25 million club option that the Red Sox could tack on if he were to opt out of his contract following the 2025 season. Trevor Story is not opting out of this deal. There's absolutely no way in God's name that's happening. So far in a season, not even a full season's worth of games, 145 games, if I'm not mistaken, in 3 years, 145 games, 19 home runs, 84 RBIs, 24 stolen bases. That's great. And 176 strikeouts in, I'm going to say, like 530 at-bats. I'm just kind of quick glancing that one. I'm going to see if I'm close. 546 at-bats. So, yeah, I don't really know what we're going to be expecting from Trevor Story. Like, it's exciting to see that he's doing well and he's getting better. He's ahead of schedule. But the guy was way overpaid. Was not the guy that we wanted and had numbers cascading down for four straight seasons. So what in the world were we thinking? Did we think he was going to all of a sudden just turn it around? Like, oh yeah, 2020, the COVID season, like, oh yeah, he had 11 homers, hit almost 300, had 15 stolen bases. He's back. The following year, he didn't do anything. The numbers went right back to where they were. He reverted back to being average. We made a mistake. We have three more years of dealing with this. We're basically putting ourselves in timeout because we, again, have $72.5 million owed to him. We have a couple other contracts that we still have. It's just potentially dead money. And I hate to say that, but the expectations for Trevor Story should not be for him to be an elite guy who's going to come in here and just absolutely take baseball by storm. I don't anticipate it. And in fact, we don't even have a full guarantee that he's going to come back. They say, oh, yeah, he'll be coming back, whatever. If we're out of contention, what's the point? Why would you just rest up and be ready for 2025 and fight for a position? Because now we have options and you're not a lock to automatically be our second baseman or our shortstop. It's just not the case. So to that point, Trevor Story and Rich Hill will be the final nails in the coffin. Rich Hill, two innings, two strikeouts. And what was that, Terry? Two innings, two strikeouts on a walk, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
Yeah, great. Against AAA. And that's great. Whatever you want to do, you're 44 years old. You're one of the oldest players, if not the oldest, in what would be Major League Baseball for 2024. Because you wanted to watch your son play baseball. I don't blame you. I would have done the exact same thing as you. Because at 44 years old, probably shouldn't be playing Major League Baseball anyways. But you're an anomaly. You're just going to be eating innings at this point. There's going to be no expectation of you going six innings and striking out six or seven guys in a game. You're going to be trying to blow 84 past somebody. Maybe you can impress us and tack or hit 90. The grunt is going to be back, but it's not going to be scaring anybody. And if you leave anything over the dish, it's going to be like Christmas. It's going to be over the wall and we're going to run out of fireworks, especially, or the opposing teams are going to run out of fireworks. So no, these aren't the final nails to the coffin, Johnny. We've had plenty of nails put in us all season. I mean, we had nails put in us before the season even started. And there will be more nails to come. I just don't know what they are going to be yet. We're just going to leave it suspenseful because ownership likes to play that game with us. They like the suspense. We'll save some money. We'll just see how it goes. So I would want to leave it on that unless there is something else that either one of you two gents wanted to talk about for Johnny Fontaine. And yes, I wouldn't mind if you change your photo. Not to say that the Soprano is a bad photo, but I'm kind of curious to know who's chirping.
I mean, what if he looks like, and I'm not saying he does, but what if he looks like Newman from Seinfeld? I mean, you kind of have to have the Sopranos avatar.
Who cares? He could look like one of us. And that's a good looking dude. You know what I'm saying? So we don't even know. I'm just going to leave it on that one. Let's get into some other hot takes here. This is coming from Benson, ZA Ben 2002. The Red Sox are two starters away from being a top 10 team in baseball. The Red Sox are two starters away from being a top 10 team in baseball. Terry, agree, disagree, hot take, not hot take? What do you think?
Well, I think we could be two starters away from having one of the best rotations in baseball. But that's provided Lucas Giolito comes back to somewhat of a resemblance of his old form. Number two would be that whoever that starting pitcher we sign would be, which we haven't done. Nathan Eovaldi was the last meaningful multi-year deal we signed, which was, as of this year, will have been 6 years. So I'll believe it when I see it. But if we go get, you know, a number two caliber starter, I'd feel pretty good about that. I know I trashed Bayo in the last episode. I think he's going to be better next year. I don't know if it'll be a lot better, but I think he'll have a better 2025 than 2024. I think Houck will be serviceable. And then Crawford should be serviceable for a while. So I think, yeah, we could have one of the better rotations, but Breslow has to figure that out. That's a big if. And that bullpen at this moment is scary. You remove Martin and Jansen, a lot of what ifs. You know, Whitlock probably could hold it down, but who knows? We'll know more in a few weeks about Hendricks, but there's a lot of work to be done. And this ownership group and whatever executive we've tried to plug in there hasn't figured it out, so that's kind of a hot take, and I don't know if I can get there with it.
Jeremy.
If I could tweak the take to a ace and a left-handed pitcher, I'd agree. Because that's what we're missing. Especially if it's an ace left-handed pitcher, I would agree. But to just leave it this ambiguous, because if we add another Crawford Pivetta, I don't think it changes anything. I think it deepens the organizational staff, and I think it helps over 162 games, and I think you get a little bit better, incrementally better, maybe 2 to 5 wins better, but we need more than 2 to 5 wins. So, again, if it's an ace and a left-handed pitcher, again, we need to balance the rotation just like we need to balance the lineup because we don't know how to build a roster. I think the tweet is in the right direction. If it was more specific like that, I would 100% agree with it because the lineup does damage. I mean, look, we're top 5 in every category offensively. And then the other thing is, now that I'm thinking about it, and Terry touched on it, especially in the 8th and 9th inning, but the bullpen has really been hit or miss, and there's got to be a little bit more balance between the 6th and 9th innings as far as understanding what you're going to get, you know, because it seems like it's different every night. But that is the easiest thing to fix, by the way.
I would say so. Jeremy's bar is higher than mine, and that's really the difference, I would say, on, you know, how to get there.
It's going to take more than, I think, 2 starters. Obviously, we still need that power bat because the offense is not there. And I'm sure some players are going to take a step up. There's no question. But the Red Sox are 2 starters away from being a top 10 team in baseball.
No,
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I can commit to that because you can say 2 starters away, but what's to say that somebody else doesn't go down? What if you lose Devers? What if Devers goes down for the season? You just lost your biggest bat. Or Jaron Duran gets injured, pulls a hamstring, is out for 2 months. You know, like there are so many things that would have to go right. And by that, I mean literally zero injuries in order for me to say, yeah, I just can't get behind it, Benson. So I appreciate the take, but I just unfortunately can't get behind it. I mean, what are the odds that the Red Sox can go an entire season without getting an injury? I just don't see it. Last one here, we got Beard Gang. This is from Beard Gang 296693. Abreu, as much as I hate to admit it, will be the odd man out and will be packaged for top rotation guy. Abreu, as much as I hate to admit it, will be the odd man out and will be packaged for the top rotation guy. Terry.
Well, Abreu would be a part of that package, but you're missing at least one more significant prospect to be added in there, and then one or two mid to lower level guys. So the only thing I agree with there is that Abreu is the odd man out in some capacity.
Okay. Jeremy, anything you'd like to add?
I hope he's right. I mean, I hope he's right. I really do. I mean, you know, Anthony's coming up. He's going to be ready at some point in 2025. Maybe it's to start the season. We don't know, hopefully. But I mean, if you can get a top-end starter for Abreu and a prospect, I'd do it yesterday. I would have done it at the deadline. So I hope he's right. I mean, I don't think this is a hot take. I think this is an indication what the fan base wants Breslow to do, which is to package talent at bottlenecked positions for positions of need. And that's exactly what this is, you know. So I like Abreu, don't get me wrong. And if he ends up being here for 10 years and he's inducted into the Red Sox Hall of Fame, and, you know, that's great. And it's possible that that happens. But in a position of strength within the organization, we have to move somebody to fix the balance of the roster. And if it's Abreu, I can accept that.
So back to this take real quick. Abreu would have to be a part of it. It couldn't be the only one. There's absolutely no way. No one is going to say, oh yeah, Abreu is going to be the only person that you need in order to get like a frontline starter. So correct on the sense of it's going to be a package, not necessarily a hot take. I also agree with you, because of the people that you're going to be able to move to get somebody of value, Terrence is still in love with Jaron Duran. He's not going anywhere. I'd be concerned for Terry's health if Jaron did get moved, and I'd be willing to part ways with Jaron. Yoshida's not getting moved. That's just not happening. And Sidon Rafael is not getting moved. So even if you were to move Yoshida, you're not going to get the premier person you want. Even if Yoshida goes bats 330 for the rest of the year, it's just not going to happen. So yeah, it would have to be Abreu, someone with team control, someone with some high upside. We don't know what it's yet going to be. I think I've been on record as saying I kind of want him to be like a Trot Nixon or Troy O'Leary type guy, something in that range of 25, 27 homers, 85 to 90 RBIs. Doesn't have to, you know, blow the roof off. Maybe 10 stolen bases, hit 280, something like that. Yeah, it sounds like a lot, but I don't think he's ever going to be a consistent 3,100 guy. A 3,100 guy is going to net you something a little bit better, but you know, if we want to get somebody like Gilbert or, God, even Crochet, I know people have been in love with his name too for a little bit. It's going to take a lot more. It's going to take one of your big three. It's probably going to be someone else you're also not going to want to part ways with. Abreu is going to be a part of it too. It's probably going to be four or five guys. It's going to be a proper package if you're trying to get one of these frontline guys. Kirby's not going to get moved. Gilbert's not going to get moved. You have to really make it worth Seattle's while if you're trying to get one of those two guys. Garrett Crochet, same thing. If you're trying to get Garrett Crochet, it's going to take a lot. So of the names that are up and coming, I mean, there are a few, but the ones that are well known, everybody knows that it's going to take an arm and a leg and your top dog. So say goodbye to one of your big three minimum. If you really want to get the job done, it might even take two. And I don't know if the Red Sox are in a position or a place to even consider doing something like that. Anything else that you two gents want to add? Yeah, T, go ahead.
Totally random, but Brian Wu is a guy I kind of like on that Seattle team that you might get it done with Abreu and a you know, maybe one, not one of your big three, but, you know, a lower top 10 guy, I think would get that done.
Where is he on the, where is he on the list for arbitration?
Brian Wu, I'll get that for 20, you.
Yeah, he's 24 years old.
Yeah, well, listening. Not a, yeah, yeah, so 2027 would be his eligibility. So,
it's going to cost more than Abreu, 100%.
Abreu and someone else. I don't think it'll be a big three. What's his strikeout per nine? Yeah, 6.8. I just see him as a guy that could be tinkered with a little bit and would probably be a number three, a solid number three in a rotation. He hasn't pitched since August 19th, so there could be an injury in there, but I'm just saying that type of a guy would kind of excite me a little bit.
We shall see. Anything else you want to add, Jeremy? Excellent. That's going to wrap it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.